So we all know in Bible class, the right answer is always Jesus. It was a first grade Bible class, and the teacher asked the kids that were all sitting around listening to her, she said, "Okay, what's a little brown animal with a bushy tail and loves acorns?" One of the boys spoke up. "It sounds a whole lot like a squirrel, but I'm going to go ahead and say Jesus." So we live in an incredibly complex world. But amidst the challenges, the struggles, the complexities of life and of this world, it still comes down to Jesus. I think that's what we're going to see in our text today. I think Paul would affirm that claim with all of the complexities of life, all of the struggles, political struggles, and everything included. In all of the complexities, in all the difficulties, it still comes down to Jesus. And he says it this way. We're still in Colossians chapter 1. He says it this way, 15 through 20. "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." So just in these five or six verses, there are several claims, in fact, 11 statements or claims about Jesus Christ. I'm going to just list these. These are in verses 15 through 20. First of all, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. In him all things were made. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead. He is supreme in everything. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And God reconciled to himself all things through the cross of Christ. Many scholars believe that in this section of Colossians, Paul sort of stepped into a poet mode and shared a poem about Jesus Christ. In the Greek, it has that sort of rhyme and meter to it. It flows like a poem about the majesty, the supremacy of Jesus Christ. The framework for the message this morning is three questions. And the questions are, what do we learn about Jesus from his role in creation? The second is, what do we learn about Jesus by his role within the church? And then finally, what do we learn about Jesus from the cross of Christ? And so that first question, what do we learn about Jesus from his role in creation? Paul said, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Then he says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. And then he goes on. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. See that list there? It all has to do with creation. Jesus is the firstborn among creation. I think what Paul is saying here in this list is very simply, in a very straightforward way, that Jesus stands over all of creation, visible and invisible. He has majesty over everything. Jesus was with the Father at creation, as we what might call the pre-existent Messiah, awaiting the time when he would come to redeem the world. Thinking of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. It goes even further than that, that Jesus was with the Father at creation. It goes on to say that the world, everything, the cosmos, was made for Jesus. He, the Messiah, is the rhyme and reason for the world. The universe, although we may think that the universe is self-sufficient, certainly folks do think that, or taking it down several levels from the universe, thinking about even individuals are self-sufficient. No matter how much the world or individuals or a certain society or a government or a nation believes it to be self-sufficient, in truth, all things are dependent on Christ. And so we ask, why does this matter? You might have heard this phrase before from J.B. Phillips. Your God is too small. He had a book entitled that. Your God is too small. Have you heard? You heard of that? Shake your head if you up and down if you've heard of that. Okay, work with me here a little bit. Okay, all right. So we've heard that. A good portion of us here have heard that before. I think we could tweak that a little bit, and it'd still be true in thinking about Jesus Christ. Not only perhaps is our God too small, our view, our way of understanding God and even relating to God, not only is our God too small, but our Jesus is too small. This passage right here just flies in the face of that understanding. All creation is dependent on Jesus Christ. All is made for him. All things are held together in Jesus Christ and in him alone. And if that is the case, if we believe that to be true, that Jesus is Lord over all creation, it's going to shape every aspect of our lives and our family situations. Jesus is Lord of not only me, but of my family. In my work context, that Jesus is truly Lord is going to influence the way that I interact with my coworkers and I approach my work. Paul is going to say something about that later on in Colossians chapter 3. As I interact with my friends, that Jesus is Lord, that all things are held together through him, it's going to impact how I interact with my friends and young people. Young people, remember this as you interact with your friends, as you walk the hallways at your school. Jesus is your Lord. And that's going to shape how you talk, how you think, how you act, how you play, how you recreate, all of that. And we think, we've got struggles, right? In a room like this, man, we've got some struggles. We've got some stories, don't we? The first place that we go is to Jesus. He is Lord of all. No uncertain terms. Jesus is Lord of all, and we see that with his role in creation. Some have said he's the agent of creation. We might even say the object. It's all for him. So what do we learn from Jesus from his role in the church? This is verse 18. Paul says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything, including the church, including the Leander Church of Christ, he has the authority. He is supreme. An elder is not the head of this church. An eldership is not the head of this church. A minister is certainly not head of this church. You are not head of this church. There's only one head, one authority figure, and it's the Son of God, the one who is the image of the invisible God. So as the church witnesses to who God is and what God is doing in the world, as the church does this in a broken world, you see, if all of creation, if all of the world was made for him, then the church better get this right, that the church exists for him. And as we do that, as we live for him, as we're shaped by him, as we follow his lead, then we witness to a broken world that is desperate for hope. We witness to the world where that hope comes from. That when you live your life in line with Jesus Christ, you are living in the center of God's desire and purpose for all of creation, including humankind. A body, it needs a brain, right? Without a brain, the body can't function so well. I'm not a doctor know much about the medical field, but I think I can say that with some level of preciseness, I guess, that the body needs a brain, right? Jesus is the head. He's the one that directs the body. No, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I think this is timely. No vision plan, no strategic plan. Nobody's idea that someone concocts in their mind is going to be the proper direction for the church. We gain our direction, our mission from Jesus Christ and him alone. I heard someone talk one time about the difference, and he made up a word, so I really liked it. I've got a thing for made-up words. And so he said, in fact, he had this whole talk, and he called it churchianity versus Christianity. Churchianity versus Christianity. And what he said is that he is afraid that so often within our churches, and he was speaking big picture, but in our churches, so often we are bent on churchianity over against being bent on Christianity. And so our focus becomes more about the church, although the church is so incredibly important. He was not belittling the church at all. He was trying to speak a message of hope to the church. The focus becomes so much on the church that we forget about Christ. We forget about the head of the church. And so he said, we get caught up more in churchianity than we do Christianity. We follow our lead from the head, Jesus Christ. And it has to be that way. And then finally, what do we learn about Jesus from the cross? Verses 19 through 23. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Just a note about that. Jesus is the embodiment of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He fully and completely, I cannot overstate this, he fully and completely represents God. As a matter of fact, when Paul says that Jesus is the image or the icon of the invisible God, that word image there in Greek philosophy meant a representative of the reality, and they took it even further than that, that the image owned the reality of that which it was reflecting. That's what it's saying about Jesus. He is the embodiment of God. He represents fully. He is the reality of God. And through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. That's the gospel right there. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, the reconciliation, the restoration that comes, this is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So I got a little bit hung up this week about what Paul says there at the conclusion of this section. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Has it been proclaimed to every creature? Of course, Paul's going to have something to say about that in Romans chapter 1. But I think what Paul is getting at here is that the gospel isn't some mystery that is only available to some people. No, the good news of Jesus Christ is made available to all. First century context would have been Jews and Gentiles. But the good news of Jesus Christ is proclaimed to all. It's available. God's salvation is available to all people. And I think, and this is just how wrapped up Paul was with Jesus Christ. I think as Paul wrote this, he expected that Christians would, their hearts would burn, to use the language from earlier, their hearts would burn so much that everyone would be bent on sharing the good news with others. So I believe Paul did expect that all people would hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and they would hear it from those who had recently received it. So what do we learn about Jesus from the cross? First of all, that he selflessly and faithfully went to the cross on behalf of sinful humanity. And this is the purpose of restoration and reconciliation. Sin had broken the world, and through the cross, the relationship between God and humanity was brought back to good. It's what we call the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, brought humans back to God. And of course, this is God's grace and God's mercy. And Jesus willingly did this for our hope, for our future. And those that are in Christ, they are without blemish, Paul says. They are free from accusation. They're clean because of Jesus Christ. It's hope. Think of your lives. You think of your past. Think of some of the things that you have done. Some of us would be just absolutely embarrassed to share. Again, like I said, we have stories, don't we? We'd be embarrassed to share some of the things that we've done, some of the thoughts that we've had just this morning. Paul says, through the cross of Jesus Christ, you are without blemish. You are free from accusation. You have been reconciled to your holy God. That's the hope of the gospel. I was talking with somebody this past week, and I think what he was saying is so just representative of so many of us. He said, I understand that I have been made clean because of the blood of Christ, the cross of Christ. But Satan keeps accusing me of being wrong, and I feel so guilty, and this guilt is just weighing me down, keeping me from living the kind of life that God wants me to live. And I think so many of us are there. Paul says, through the cross of Christ, the hope of the gospel, we are without blemish. We are clean and pure. No accusations against us. It's because of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. When I lived up in Oklahoma City, had the opportunity to interact with a group of Christians that lived and worked in a run-down part of the city. The group, they called themselves The Refuge. The minister of that congregation there, his name is Tim Ulrich, a guy that was just on fire for Jesus Christ. We would go down there, and they would allow groups to come and work with them in that area, interacting with folks that lived in that part of the community. They were doing rebuilding projects, rebuilding a lot of the houses in that area. They were interacting with the homeless and those who were dealing with various addictions. Powerful to see them at work. So one day we were standing in their building. One of the things they did too, they built an old abandoned warehouse down there and made a group of Christians did this and made an apartment building there for various folks to come and live, homeless folks. And then Christians would go live there, and they'd make it their point to share the love of Jesus Christ in that part of Oklahoma City, a place where everybody was trying to leave. They went right down into that area. It was incredible to see the restorative work that they were doing, or God was doing through them in that area. We're all standing in the basement of this warehouse, and we're talking to Tim, and he's sharing how he ended up down in that place from California. And someone asked him the question. They said, "So have you all gone to the city government, Oklahoma City government, to request some help from them to continue to do the work that you're doing? Maybe they could help you out, and you could even do more than what you already have done in this part of the city." He said, "No, we haven't done that." But he said, "I can't tell you how many times the city government and the city officials have come to us and asked how they could help us do the work that we're doing in this part of the city." That's Jesus Christ at work. It's only Jesus that has caused them to move into that part of the city and start doing restorative work in that place, beautifying that area and taking people that everybody is running away from. They run towards them to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people who desperately need the hope that comes through the gospel. What is the hope for Leander? It's Jesus Christ. What is the hope for you? It's Jesus Christ. What is the hope for me? What do I need more of? Jesus. What do all of us need more of? Jesus Christ. To help us to process this and allow this to sink in, Daryl is going to lead us in a song. And my hope is that as we sing this song together, that these words would make their home in our heart. Let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to ask you all to grab a hand as we sing this song together.
Every hour, Lord.
We need Jesus. Now, I know what you're thinking. Okay, I didn't need to come to hear that. I get that. I don't think that we can be reminded of that enough, how desperately we need Jesus. I started off by saying that we live in a very complex world. It seems to me that it's only getting more complex as time goes on. I don't know. That's just me, maybe. But the truth still remains, no matter what, that Jesus Christ reigns, that all things hold together in Him, that creation was made by Him, through Him, and for Him. All creation. Paul says something that I think is so very powerful in Philippians chapter 2. He says, "There is a day coming when that at the name of Jesus, every knee and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God." Imagine, and this is stretching us a little bit, stretching me, but imagine somebody like Hitler going to his knees and confessing that Jesus is Lord. We must remember that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And as a church, as we confess that, God will use us in powerful ways to witness to what God is up to. That's what the world needs to see. They need to see, not only hear, but they need to see that Jesus truly is Lord. And we must remember, even in this political season, that Donald Trump, his knees going to bow, his tongue's going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Hillary Clinton is going to do that, going to confess that. Creation was made by him, for him, and through him. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, what's really cool about this, and also a little bit complex, we can choose when we are going to make that confession. For some, confession is going to come later. The hope for all of us is that we make that confession now, and then we bend our lives in such a way that we live true to that confession. There are some here today that have not made that confession that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. I would hope that you would do that today and then give your life over to him in the waters of baptism, being raised up to newness of life. Here in a moment, Daryl's going to lead us in another song. If there's anybody that is ready to make that confession today, we would love to witness you do that. If there's anybody here this morning that desires the prayers of the church family, we'd be glad to go to God on your behalf, pleading with him for whatever it is that's on your heart. You can come forward as we sing.
Have decided to follow Jesus.